Let's have a prayer together. Our Father, we thank you so much this morning that we could be in your house once again. We ask you to be with each one of us and seal to us a blessing that we might truly know you better and serve you more fully. We do pray for those on the hill this morning. We pray that you'll meet their needs in every way and restore them to health. Thank you, Pastor Steve. We pray that you'll strengthen him and restore him to health. We do ask you to bless and guide throughout the service today that we might honor and magnify your holy name. Thank you for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 7. It's a very familiar scripture, but I thought it would be good to read today, thinking about the coming of Christ, the coming of the Messiah. You know, the Jewish people had looked for the Messiah for so long. And here we find the portion of scripture that speaks about this. This is a message that the Lord gave to Ahaz and the king, and also to the people of Israel, to the people of Judah, actually. Let's read from, we'll begin verse 1 through verse 17. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Yashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria, with Syria, and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height thereof, above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come, from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. Let's have a read. Our Father, we thank you for your precious word for our hearts today. And we thank you for your commanding of all these things. Lord, we know that we might decide to do something, but it's up to you what is actually accomplished. Lord, we think of all the world and the kings and those who are in charge, and they think that they are leading. But we know, Lord, that ultimately you are the one who has control. So we thank you for that. We think of our own country, and we have a new administration coming in very soon. And we just pray that you will guide and direct and lead and help us that we might be able to prosper. Yes. Make America great again, Lord. Not in the sense of being better than anyone else, but that we might truly be great in your sight. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we know, Lord, that you have established us here, and you are with us to help us, and I pray that you'll continue to show mercy and grace. Thank you for the Thanksgiving holiday that we just had. And we do offer praise and thanksgiving to you for all of your blessings. We just thank you so much for your people, for this church. Thank you for your grace and mercy to us in such a wonderful way, keeping us going and helping us to be the church of Jesus Christ, that we might be all that you want us to be. So, Lord, we just ask you to bless today and help us in all that we do. Be with those who are ill. Touch them and strengthen them and restore them to health. And may Jesus Christ, our Savior, be glorified through it all. And we'll thank you, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Isaiah received his call and commission from God back in chapter 6, right before this, actually. And God called him to be a witness and a prophet, testimony, to go to his people and to tell them the message. And so this was in the year it said that King Uzziah died. And we find here that now his son has taken over, Ahaz, the son of Uzziah, and he was a very wicked king. And even here, when God gave him the opportunity to ask for a sign, he refused to do it. You know, he had the tenacity to say to God, no, I don't want to do that. You know, that's not a good idea, is it? What do you think? And we say, when God says something, we should say, yes, sir, right? And he did not do that. And so God gave it to the whole nation instead of just to him. And as we read that, you will notice that. Here in chapter 7, we find that Ahaz was king of Judah, the son of Jonathan, but unfortunately he did not follow in the footsteps of his father or his grandfather. Let's look back for a moment. 2 Chronicles 28, we'll read a few verses. 2 Chronicles. I think that comes up the first one. Okay, let's see. 2 Chronicles 28. I should have marked it up just to say, get my fingers to work here. Here we go. Verse 1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, but he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made also molten images for Baal. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and burned his children in the fire, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. He was a wicked king who worshipped other gods and followed the evil customs of the nation. So as the story opens up here, we find King Ahaz in trouble. The kings of Israel and Syria are leading their armies against him. There seems to be no way of escape, and Ahaz and his people are definitely afraid. You know, thinking about this, I know we talk about this every once in a while, but like usually we'll say something about, well, they've been fighting forever. Huh? Yeah, it's pretty well true, isn't it? And here we find these armies coming against each other, one after the other. And here is Israel and Syria coming against Judah. And they're afraid because they're overpowered. Jerusalem is there, and the army surrounding them. So we find here, God sends someone to give them a message. He sent Isaiah, the prophet. Now, Isaiah is one of the greatest of the Jewish prophets. And God used him in a mighty way to speak to these kings and to their people. And so here we find in verse 3, it says, the Lord said to Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz. You and your son, Shiar Yasser. That means haste. What does it mean? This guy had it here. No, it means a remnant shall return. He had two different sons. They both had the special meanings. A remnant shall return. So that doesn't sound too good. Wait, wait. This is the message. His son's coming, and he speaks about a remnant coming back. That means something bad is about to happen, right? So that's what's happening here. And so Ahaz was up there inspecting the water supply in view of the coming attack. It says he was up there by the upper pool and was examining the things there, making sure that they would be ready when the attack came. So Isaiah was told to take his son with him. This was because his name, as I said, Shiar Yasser, had a special meaning. The remnant shall return. This was to encourage the king in a way that all was not lost, even though they might lose the battle. There would still be a remnant left. And so this is his message. And so he's going to tell them that. So the message is the promise of God, what God is saying to him. He says in beginning in verse 4, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for these two tales of smoking fire, they like that. Smoking sticks, you know how they smolder, you know, all that. They don't really amount to much. They think they're great, but they'll find out that they are not. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee. So they are coming against you to attack you, and they are real, they're no real threat to you. Don't worry about it, he said. And he said, let us go up against Judah and vex it. Let us make a breach therein for us. Here they're coming. They set a king in the midst of it. They already had their plans made. They were going to set up a southern king in place of Ahaz. Then said the Lord, it shall not stand, neither shall it come back. You know, as I was saying before, you know, you can make your plans. It is what I'm going to do. But it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what's going to happen, right? God might have something else in mind. Huh? And we need to make sure. It says over in the book of James, if the Lord will, we shall do this and that. Right? So we have to make that exception. You know, it's not up to us always. It's the Lord is the one who is in charge. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? He's the ruler. He's the one who sets everything up for us. So he says, it will not stand. What their plan is not going to happen. And moreover, down in verse 10, so moreover the Lord spake again to Ahaz. Okay. Now, I got through that. He says, don't worry about the enemy. You know, the enemy is not going to succeed. They are not going to win the battle. And you are going to be all right. So he says, just don't worry about it. Have faith in God's word. And notice what it says here in verse 9. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. So here, he's talking about this whole situation. He says, put your faith and trust in God. Now, I love that over in Proverbs chapter 3, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He will make your paths straight. Huh? So, he said, don't worry about these people. Don't fear them. And trust the Lord. That's a good message, I think, right there for all of us. And we appreciate that very much. So here we find God is going to give him a sign. And he said, ask the sign of the Lord. This is a wonderful opportunity that the king had, right? God himself says, ask me for something and I'll give it to you. He said, oh no, I won't do that. He seems all pious, you know. Oh, I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't dare ask God of anything. Yet he was an idol worshiper, asking the idols. And the Lord says, ask me. The Lord authorized Ahaz any sign whatsoever. Anything you wanted him to do, he could have done. But he refused to do so, saying that he did not want to test God. His true reason was that he did not believe and did not want to be held accountable by God. That's true. He was an ungodly person and would not even ask God for this sign that he was going to give him. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, so now this is the Lord talking. Hear ye now, O house of David. Okay, so he's quit talking to Ahaz, right? Now he's talking to the whole country, the house of David, Judah. He said, is it a small thing for you to weary men? Will you weary God also? He said, what in the world? He said, I'm getting so tired. You know, it speaks about that a number of times. God got tired of all of the sacrifices that they offered up all the time, continually, when their heart was not right with him. You know, our heart has to be in the right place, and we have to have faith in God if we're going to please him. He says, so, don't make me so tired. Wear me out. I'm tired of all this business. That's what God says. So then he gives him this wonderful sign. This is to the whole nation of Judah, right? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. What a sign that is, huh? Thinking about Christmas and all, Jesus coming, Emmanuel, the great sign. Since Ahaz refused to ask for the sign, the Lord gave it anyway to the whole nation. And you might say, well, what is this sign? It's that a virgin will have a baby. How does that come? Wow. Another one of those miracles, right? The virgin. So who is he talking about here? I think we have to say that there's a double fulfillment of this sign that he gives. The first one is to them right there where they were, the sign that they have, because he talks about this child that's going to be born. He says, butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Right? For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. So that was a local thing, wasn't it? Right? This fulfillment here, we find that before this child knows the difference in good and evil, these kings are going to be destroyed. So you don't have to worry about that. That's all done. And this child, Emmanuel, that's going to be born, is going to be a sign that God is going to fulfill what he says. And that's the first sign, right? The other one, look over in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And notice what it says here. Well, let's go back to verse 18 now. Give us a clear picture. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, he was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or secretly. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So there's the fulfillment. Matthew says that this not only applied to Ahaz and his situation there in the ancient time, but it also applies to this, the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, came into the world that we might have everlasting life, that we might be saved by his grace and mercy. So we find here, God with us. Jesus came at Christmas time, right? Well, we don't know when it was, but anyway, we celebrated Christmas. So Isaiah here spoke of a virgin living then who would marry shortly and have a child before the boy would be old enough to know right from wrong. The Israel-Syrian enemy would be destroyed and no longer a threat. This is one aspect of the prophecy. The second one is what I just mentioned. The Lord Jesus' birth. Matthew says that this prophecy is specifically talking about the coming of Jesus. He was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit. He's the only one who could truly be Emmanuel, God with us. He is the eternal God who took upon himself a robe of flesh so that he could die for the sins of the world. We're going to celebrate in just a moment the Lord's Supper, communion, fellowship with our Savior in his death for us. He died for us that we might have everlasting life. Father, Thank you so much for your word. Lord, we don't always understand everything about it, but we thank you that this is clear. The word of God says that this refers to Jesus being born of the Virgin, and that he is our Savior. He is our Lord. He came to save his people from their sins. He came to save anyone who would believe in him as the Lord and Savior. May your holy will be done as we now look to you and celebrate this time of communion. Jesus Christ be saved. Be Lord. May he be uplifted in all that we do.
Have a moment in prayer. If the Lord speaks to you about something in your heart, confess to him, then this will be the time to do that. May we all be drawn closer to him. We do thank you, our Heavenly Father, for the Lord Jesus, for all that he means to us today. Please cleanse us from any dirty sin. May our hearts be clean before you. May we do your will and all that we undertake. Bless each one of us and guide us and help us in all that we do. May we truly remember the Lord Jesus in this time when we partake of the bread and the meat. May your will be done, O Lord, guide and help us now. Last Supper, Jesus took the bread and he took the wine and he blessed it and he said, take eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Drink these. This is the New Testament in my blood that is shed for many for the remission of their sins. For Jesus said, take eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
Dear Father in heaven, we're approaching the season where we remember that you came to us as a baby. Lived and died for us, perfect life, and we might be the perfect sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And you did it because you love us. Thank you for this opportunity to remember that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of their sins.
Gracious Father, we thank you that you made this plan in eternity past. Come down and live amongst us. Shed your blood, which is the only acceptable sacrifice to cover our sins. Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk in holiness and do that which you set before us and help us to carry this message to your name and prayer.
As often as you take this cup and drink this blood, not blood, but the juice, you shall show the Lord's death until he come. He's coming. He's coming. Looking for that. That's all I'm saying. Once again, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings that we have in Christ. We thank you for the Thanksgiving time that we've just gone through, and we're looking forward to the celebration of Christmas, the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May your holy will be done in each one of our lives, cleanse us of every sin, and make us what you have in Jesus' name.